Hey everyone, welcome to the New Insight podcast, where we interview the most important movers and shakers in ophthalmology and give you new insights on the innovations ahead. I'm your host, Viral Sheth. My guest today is Roland Mattern. Roland is Director of Sales and Marketing at eSight Eyewear. Recently, companies have been leveraging advancements in technology to bring tools to our patients that can help them maximize their vision. eSight is one of the companies that seems to be doing it really well, and so I wanted to use this as an opportunity for our audience to learn more about the tech and how it may help our patients remain independent. In our conversation, we touch on a number of topics. We talk about the origin story of the company, founded by Conrad Lewis, who wanted to help both of his sisters who suffered from Stargardt's disease. We talk about the evolution of the eSight product and what the fifth generation of that technology looks like today and how it's helping patients of ours, such as our AMD patients, live more independent lives. I'm thrilled to be able to give our listeners some new insights into these advancements. So without further delay, please enjoy my conversation with Roland Mattern.
So Roland, thanks for joining us today. Really appreciate you coming on the show. You know, when I heard about your device, and the eSight, I really thought, you know, it's a perfect, kind of product to talk about, but also your company is a great company to talk about on our show, because it really kind of, you know, hits that sweet spot as a retina specialist and someone that treats patients, oftentimes with low vision. We're always looking for, you know, what's out there, what's new. Patients are always asking about, you know, kind of what's on the horizon to really help them out. So I really want to thank you for taking the time out today and helping our audience understand a little bit more about kind of you, your company, and the product and what you guys do. So thank you again for taking the time today.
Yeah, it's my pleasure entirely. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to spread the good word.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit. First, just tell us about the company a little bit. You know, how did it come about? You know, what type of team do you work with? And what may be that you know, just topically what you have in the pipeline, and then we can dive a little bit deeper into that.
Sure, absolutely. You know, the origin story of eSight is a really interesting one. The founder of eSight and the inventor of the technology that has become the eSight Go in its current iteration, his name was Conrad Lewis. And he was an engineer based out of Ottawa in Canada, the nation's capital. And both his sisters had Stargardt's disease. So as they came through their teens, you know, their visions are getting worse. And by the time they're adults, they had lost their central vision to the point where they were legally blind. And he just wanted to help his sisters, you know, regain the ability to read and see faces and all the wonderful things that come from that. So being the engineer that he was, he dedicated himself to tinkering with ideas and concepts and eventually came up with the concept of using, you know, a camera software to enhance the image and two television screens, one in front of each eye, that then projects that central image onto the retina. And whatever usable retinal tissue is still viable with photoreceptors, got that information to the brain. And he finally came across a combination where sisters were actually gaining some enhancement in their vision. So that's how eSight got started. And the first sort of prototype product that they floated into the market was in 2013. The original eSight, but conceptually it hasn't changed. But of course, with the technological advancements, electronics, and miniaturization, it's gotten better and better over the years. And we are currently on the fifth generation product called eSight Go.
Wow! So fifth generation. So tell us a little bit about. We'll get into the actual device, but tell us a little bit about the team. Who makes up the company today?
Sure. So until about a year and a half ago, we were 20 eSight employees based out of Toronto and working remotely in mostly Ontario. And in the time that we started to develop the eSight Go product, the current product, we partnered with a company called Gentex Corporation. And Gentex Corporation's technology really centers around camera systems, sensors, connectivity, miniaturized monitors, and electronic manufacturing. They're actually primarily in the automotive industry, but the technology that they have in automotive is really just sensors, cameras, and monitors, everything that eSight is. And so we partnered with them originally to help us with hardware design and with procuring products or components and helping us design the current iteration of the product. And in that development process, they actually made an investment in eSight, became an equity investor, and eventually saw enough value in the product as it was progressing that they decided to acquire it and all the assets 100%. So eSight is now still a group of maybe 20 people, but we've been incorporated into a publicly traded company called Gentex Corporation. So we are the first commercial healthcare product that they have, but they do have other investments and projects in development that'll serve the healthcare market.
Oh, that's fantastic. So you're on the fifth generation. What has changed? And I know we talked about, you know, just technology in general has gotten, you know, better, higher resolutions, miniaturization, as you described. What's 100%. Changed between the fourth and the fifth generation?
Yeah, so the technological advancements have really been in some of those things that you mentioned. So wider field of view, longer battery life, better resolution, better image quality, reduced lag time, better components. But that's sort of all inside the device. What's really contributed to the success of the current device is also the cosmetic changes. Because previous generation devices were quite large and bulky. And when you wore them, you really stood out in a crowd. And, you know, people want to see. They don't want to be seen, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. So we really challenged the engineers not only to improve the core technologies, but make it more seamless so people can integrate it into their lives easier. And part of that is reducing the bulk and making it appear as mainstream as possible. So one of the things the engineers did in the design concept was to remove the battery from the headset, as an example. So that reduced a lot of bulk and a lot of weight. So now we have a device that's wearable. It looks like a set of cataract sunglasses, if you will, a larger, bulkier set of sunglasses that has one third of the weight of the previous product. It's much more robust than the previous product. Does everything the previous product did, only better. And now it's a much more acceptable device, which really broadens the number of individuals that we can help because they're more willing to engage with the technology since it's just more streamlined and cosmetically pleasing.
So let's talk about that. So then you've had a chance now for patients to experience the device. This is not a show where we generally have patients kind of come on and give their testimonials, but walk us through maybe what you've seen in terms of patients and their experience, and just maybe give us an example.
For sure. So I'll speak to somebody I'm thinking of that had lost their central vision due to AMD actually quite early. He was in his 50s still. And as a result of losing his central vision, he lost his driver's license, which he needed for work. So he not only did lose his vision, he lost his career. He happened to live in a location in a national park in Canada, where if you wanted to live in that national park, you had to be employed in the national park. And so he lost his home as well and had to relocate. He spent the next couple of years sort of relearning his life, but became quite withdrawn from social activities, his family, etc., and lost all the hobbies that brought him joy. And by happenstance, he was exposed to eSight in 2015. And when he engaged with the product, all of a sudden he could see his spouse's face. He looked around the room and said, "Oh my God, I can see everybody's face." And so that's a very, very emotional reaction. And quite often when someone puts a device on and it works for them, oftentimes you get a moment of silence and then you see tears welling up in their eyes as whether they're trying to read a book or see a face, or oftentimes we'll be at a convention and they'll read name tags or look around the room and be able to perceive what is there. So it's a very emotional reaction. From a perception perspective, what our users tell me is, when they're looking without any assistance at somebody's face, as an example, they wouldn't be able to see any facial features at all. It'd be sort of a blur of flesh tone, if you will. And they put the eSight on, and without any adjustments, they'll be able to perceive, well, there's some eyebrows there, maybe the lower lip, but there'll still be a blind spot sort of in the center of the face around the nose. And as they dial things in the settings, they can get full perception of that face or the book or the TV screen or whatever they're trying to look at with their central vision. So it really is a game-changing, life-changing device for individuals for whom it works, because they can go back to their, you know, daily activities with much less or without any assistance at all from the people around them.
So it sounds like, you know, for patients, especially the low vision patients we have, this could be a device that maybe helps them regain some independence. I mean, looking at faces is one thing, but being able to kind of functionally, cook or you know, do those things around the house where they don't necessarily need to rely on a family member or a caretaker or friend to come by and help. Is that something you're noticing as well?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, one of the design specifications we really insisted on was that, and has been this way since day one with eSight, is that we don't block peripheral vision. So there are products out there that are VR goggle based that do similar things, but there's a little bit of downside to that. Visually, they work fine, but because your peripheral vision is completely encased in that virtual experience, some individuals don't tolerate that well and they get motion sick. But because you don't have access to your peripheral vision, which is what a person with central vision loss uses to navigate, you're not mobile. And mobility gives you that independence that you mentioned. So what we've done with the design of the eSight Go is to optimize and maximize the lack of occlusion of the peripheral vision. So when someone's wearing eSight, they can still have vision out the side and down below. So if they're doing an activity that requires mobility, either in their home or in a store or a hotel or an airport, they can use a peripheral vision to navigate. We want to make sure they don't use the camera, because if they are zoomed up, obviously that'll change their perception. Use your peripheral vision to navigate. And then when you need to read a name tag or a food label or a price tag or an Uber license plate, then you can use the camera momentarily to get that central perception. Or on the corollary, that is, if you're reading a book, or you're at a Broadway show or watching television at home, now you're using the camera full time to see that live stream continuously. So that independence is driven by that ability to go back and forth from using your peripheral vision to be mobile and be using the camera to perceive your central vision.
Well, that's fantastic. And that's a great explanation, because I think that's oftentimes what we wonder is, you know, are you focused, too far into your central vision and everything else kind of disappears? We've seen that with some of the telescopic devices, for example. Mm. So that's a great explanation. So let me ask you this. So as a retina specialist, you know, we hear about new treatments coming out all the time. Sure. But we don't often hear about these devices. Why is that? Is that because this lives really kind of in the low vision space? And how do we get retina specialists to know more about these? Because, again, going back to one of the first things I mentioned, these are the types of things that patients ask about all the time, right? And our patients with geographic atrophy or just macular degeneration in general, or any kind of central debilitating disease. And quite frankly, you know, I can tell them everything about anything that can be injected in the eye, but I don't have a lot of knowledge on these types of devices. And so why is there that gap, and how can we kind of bridge that gap?
It's a great question. And, you know, I can tell you that we're trying to change that for sure, but one step at a time. So we're still relatively small with respect to a sales force in the United States. So we now have two people in the field. We've been primarily attending ophthalmology conferences to reach the ophthalmology community. So AAO, we've been to ASRS in the past. Another ophthalmology conference. We were at ARVO this year, as an example, as well, to drive awareness. We do have a program that suits the MD community quite well, actually, because many practices are so busy with their, you know, the surgical practices and their therapeutic practices. Integrating something like low vision service doesn't necessarily make sense from a patient flow or just from a capability of the practice perspective. So we've actually developed a telehealth program where retina practices, when they identify those patients, because you all have tons and tons of patients that are afflicted with central vision loss due to GA or AMD or diabetic retinopathy, Stargardt's disease, all those pathologies, that if you identify the candidates, you could actually refer them to eSight. We have an individual that deals with all those patient referrals, and we reach out to the patient. We confirm that they're a good candidate, and if they want to try the product, if they want to try the product, we'll actually ship them a device. We'll book an appointment with one of our coaches. All of our coaches are users themselves, so they're all visually impaired and using eSight themselves. So not only do they understand the functionality of the device, but they know all the little tricks depending on what you want to do with it. Here's a setting I use. Try that. So there, it's a great community that you become part of. So we ship the device out. The coaches spend about an hour, hour and a half with the person. We encourage a sighted person to be there as well because it's a Zoom call just to help with the technology. But we'll talk them through the device, show them how to use it, talk about what goals they have, what they want to do. You know, many people just want to watch TV, see faces, and play cards. But then we find that as they get confident, they start doing more and more and more with the device. And then they have a few days in the real world in their home to test drive the device, make sure it works for what they want to use it for. And then we follow up and they can either purchase a device, in which case we'll send them a brand new device to their home. And if they don't, they return the trial device to us, no questions asked. And we waive the fee for that when it's with a physician referral. We usually charge $250 just to cover shipping and handling and some insurance. But with a referral from a healthcare provider, we do waive that fee. So it's a great opportunity for someone to really try the device before they decide to purchase, because it is a bit of an investment. We want to make sure that it works for those individuals that decide to purchase.
No, that's fantastic. And we'll link in our show notes any information that you think is valuable for providers like myself to navigate towards your platform, whatever communication that we need to make these kind of connections for patients as well, or on behalf of patients. So as we kind of round the corner here, so let me ask you, just as a company, you know, how are you looking to scale at this point? You know, what are you looking to achieve this year, maybe beyond this year, in terms of, you know, getting these units out to patients and really kind of spreading the ability for patients to, you know, become independent again, essentially?
Yep. Yeah, it's a multi-pronged strategy to reach our various stakeholders. So on the healthcare professional side, both on the optometry side as well as the ophthalmology side, certainly top of the funnel is attending those key conferences to make sure that you have the opportunity to see the device, talk to our team, and get confidence in the company and our abilities as well, because we're asking you to entrust us with your patients. So we want to make sure that there's a good experience and that you feel good about what eSight is trying to accomplish. We also have some digital tools that we're engaging, so some online advertising, as well as if we do have leads coming in from either inquiries or through conventions, we do try to reach out through our inside sales team, both through email and phone, to engage and talk about what we offer to the healthcare professional as far as our service and our product is concerned. We certainly can do, you know, staff training and those kind of things. We have had a number of clinics that have asked us to do sort of a demo day where, before they fully commit, they'll bring in, you know, half dozen to a dozen patients, and we'll do a demo day right there in the clinic. We'll fly somebody in and they do the patient assessment, try the device with those individuals, and show the clinic, this is how we approach the patient. This is what we do during a, you know, a telemedicine, only it's in person. So again, to build that confidence of our process. So that's another approach that we're taking, and that's having some decent traction. We just hired a second salesperson. So again, slowly building our sales force as we grow, because ultimately we want to reach out, you know, coast to coast with healthcare professionals, low vision service providers, et cetera. So we're slowly building that sales force in the next year or so. So we have full coverage coast to coast. And then of course, things like this, where we do, you know, media coverage. We're doing some clinical trials that are just starting, so we can get some data to the podium and start building some peer influence. So those are all kinds of things that are just coming out of the starting gate now to continue to build our base of business.
Yeah, no, I think that makes a lot of sense. Collecting some data would be great. I think for us, for me personally, you know, we'll be trying to, you know, have a patient or two use a device and see what the feedback is like, right? Because I think data is important, but boy, I'll tell you, the patient experience and the testimonials can go a long way for us as specialists. Because, you know, a lot of patients we can do things for and many we can't. And those are the patients we want to find something that gives them hope. And this might be one of those things. So Roland, I want to thank you again for your time today. I can't wait to again see what this device holds for our patients and the experiences that they have, and hopefully see more of these devices out in the community helping patients. So really appreciate the time again.
My pleasure entirely. Thanks for the opportunity. And if you're going to be at AAO, come on by the Eastside booth. We'll give you some firsthand experience, and we'll have one of our users there as well. You can speak to their experience as well.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye.